Welcome to another episode of Frontline Health by CenturionLabs.com. In this week's episode, we're diving deep into the topic of infertility, which coincides with National Infertility Awareness Week. We'll explore its prevalence, the risk involved, when to seek treatment, and strategies to enhance your fertility. But before we start, remember to subscribe to the Frontline Health Podcast in order to get all the most recent episodes. There are few things in life or early marriage more devastating than infertility. And unfortunately, it is not a rare occurrence. But I also want to be sure to let people know there is hope. And let's start with just a few of the facts surrounding infertility. The World Health Organization states 1 in 6 people of reproductive age are impacted by infertility globally. The CDC, or Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, states that about 10% of women ages 15 to 44 in the U.S. suffer from infertility, and roughly 19% of women 15 to 49 years of age who have never given birth experience infertility. And while a woman is less likely to experience infertility if she's had at least one birth, it still affects about 6% of these women. In order to help set a proper level of expectation and reduce some anxiety, it's important to know that couples between the ages of 29 and 33 with a normal functioning reproductive system have only a 20 to 25% chance of conceiving in any given month. But after 6 months of trying to get pregnant, about 60% of those couples will conceive without any medical assistance. And to give a little bit more hope, it seems approximately 44% of women with infertility have sought medical assistance. And of those who seek medical intervention, approximately 65% give birth. Now, these cases saw approximately 85 to 90% of them were treated with drug therapy or surgical procedures, and actually fewer than 3% needed advanced reproductive technologies like in vitro fertilization or IVF. So, not to be a Debbie Downer after some of that good news, but recent studies suggest infertility is definitely on the rise. And it's important to note that infertility is not solely a woman's problem, which may be a bit of a surprise for you. In fact, about 1/3 of infertility cases are attributed to the woman. And about 30% of infertility cases involve men alone. And then the other 30% of cases involve problems with both partners. So our logical next question is, why are we seeing these increases in infertility? It seems there are several reasons for these rising levels in women and couples. First, couples are having children later. About 13% of couples have trouble getting pregnant when the woman is age 30 and younger. That number increases to 22% when the woman is between the ages of 30 and 39. And by age 40, a woman's chance of pregnancy has decreased from 90% to 67%. And finally, by age 45, the chance of becoming pregnant declines to 15%, which means 85% of women 45 and older can't get pregnant. But why do we see these huge drop-offs in pregnancy as we age? Well, there are a couple of theories. First, it's believed there's a higher risk of chromosomal abnormalities that occur in the eggs as women age. And second, older women are more likely to have health problems that may interfere with fertility itself. So we also know age doesn't just affect women and their fertility. It also has an effect on men's fertility. Research has shown declining sperm quality in men over the age of 40, and pregnancies that are fathered by men over age 45 are almost 50% more likely to miscarry than those who are fathered by men aged 25 to 29. The second reason for increased infertility levels seems to be our environment. In men, we know that exposing the genitals to prolonged heat, such as frequent saunas or hot tubs, can affect short-term sperm production. We also know that radiation exposure can affect fertility in both men and women. In addition, we know certain medications and vaccines have been shown to have a negative effect on fertility, which I would certainly recommend taking some time to research any vaccines or medications that you've been recommended to take before you actually start taking them. There are also various toxins in the environment that can affect fertility. Those toxins include certain pesticides, mercury, lead, cadmium, bisphenol A, which is why we see the BPA-free stickers on plastic bottles, flame retardants, and phthalates. Lifestyle factors can also affect fertility for both men and women, such as smoking. Whether you're cigarette smoking or marijuana smoking, it doesn't matter. They both increase the risk of infertility in women and men because it can damage the sperm and affect reproductive hormones, and it makes it more difficult for a woman to carry their baby to term. Alcohol use has a significant effect on both men's and women's fertility. Some studies suggest that as few as 5 drinks per week can actually impair conception. Stress and depression. We know that high levels of stress or depression may lead to irregular or absent periods and also affect those hormones that regulate reproduction and affects sperm production or ovulation. It's also important to note that many individuals find this as a circular issue where they begin to fear they can't get pregnant, which leads to depression and even high levels of stress. We also know that occupational and environmental risk are a big issue. Studies suggest that prolonged exposure to that high mental stress, high temperatures, chemicals, radiation, or heavy electromagnetic or microwave emissions may reduce fertility in both men and women. Sex. I know that seems to be a bit odd to say when you're talking about infertility, but studies suggest having multiple sex partners and contracting sexually transmitted diseases can cause infertility in both men and women. And just as a quick aside, there are over 12 million new cases in the U.S. each year, and about a quarter of those are with teens. Your weight has a big effect. So if you're overweight, we know that body fat levels that are 10 to 15% above normal can overload the body with estrogen, throwing off the reproductive cycle. If you're underweight, it can also affect it. If you're 10 to 15% below normal, it can completely shut down the reproductive process. Women at risk obviously include those with eating disorders like anorexia or bulimia. Marathon runners, dancers, and others who exercise very intensely are certainly more prone to menstrual irregularities and infertility. If you're using an IUD for contraception, we've seen that that affects fertility rates. And if you've had 2 or more abortions, those and studies of individuals who have had more than one abortion have shown that that has increased their infertility rates. In addition, we know that certain chronic diseases, health conditions, and medical procedures can also lend themselves to infertility, which is another great reminder for all of us to take greater ownership of our health and ask questions of our health practitioners and do our own research about the products or procedures that our healthcare providers recommend. Some of these conditions for men include hernia repair, undescended testicles, history of prostatitis or genital infection, mumps after puberty, and chronic diseases such as diabetes, hyper or hypothyroidism, lupus, arthritis, hypertension, or asthma. And those factors can also affect women as well, as abnormal pap smears, which have resulted in treatment such as cryosurgery or cone biopsy, your hormonal imbalances, periods exceeding 6 days or cycles that are shorter than 24 days or greater than 35 days apart. If you have irregular, unpredictable cycles, very heavy periods, excessive facial hair or acne on the face and chest or abdomen. If you've had multiple miscarriages, 2 or more, early pregnancy losses. We know that infertility increase in those individuals. If you have tubal disease, which accounts for about 20% of infertility cases that are treated. And finally, if you have endometriosis, which is a disease where uterine tissue can be found outside of the uterus, like on the ovaries, fallopian tubes, or on sometimes on the bladder or bowel as well. And our final area that we'll discuss regarding the increased infertility levels is nutrition and gene mutations, which may seem like a strange combination, but they both really play into one another. The most prevalent gene mutation that needs to be addressed when discussing fertility is MTHFR, which, if you've listened to some of our other podcasts, you know stands for methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase, which is an enzyme each of us has that plays a role in breaking down folic acid. We know about 40 to 60% of the population, depending on the studies you look at, have some form of this genetic mutation, which can adversely affect your health and especially your fertility. I've even heard some high-risk pregnancy doctors mention if this was addressed, it would reduce their patient load by about 70%. Here are just a few quotes from several studies that should cause you to pause and ask yourself if you should be tested for this mutation. The first quote is, quote, "There is now strong evidence indicating that MTHFR isoforms, especially T677T, which is a certain type of MTHFR mutation, are detrimental for fertility in women and men." Or, quote, "The results of previous studies clearly emphasize that imbalances in folate metabolism and related gene variants may impair female fecundity," which is a fancy word for fertility, "as well as compromise implantation and the chance of a live birth." And another quote, "Folate deficiency and hyperhomocysteinemia can also compromise fertility and lead to pregnancy complications by affecting the development of oocytes, or eggs, preparation of endometrial receptivity, implantation of the embryo, and pregnancy," unquote. So knowing this information, what should you do first? If you have a practitioner telling you to take high doses of folic acid, don't. Here's a quote from the Journal of Assisted Reproduction and Genetics to back this up. Quote, "The conventional use of large doses of folic acid, 5 milligrams per day, has become obsolete. Regular doses of folic acid, 100 to 200 micrograms, can be tolerated in the general population, but should be abandoned in the presence of MTHFR mutations. A physiological dose of 5 MTHFR 800 micrograms bypasses the MTHFR block and is suggested to be an effective treatment for these couples. Moreover, it avoids potential adverse effects of the UMFA, unmetabolized folic acid syndrome, which is suspected of causing immune dysfunction and other adverse pathological effects such as cancer," unquote. And if that wasn't enough to sway your opinion, this quote may be. Quote, "Treatment of patients with 5-MTHF may avoid unnecessary, expensive, and invasive ART procedures," unquote. So when it comes to infertility, there is still a lot in our control. And we can take ownership over a greater chance of having a child, but if you take ownership of your health and are still having difficulties getting pregnant, the American Center for Reproductive Medicine recommends if you're under the age of 35, you should consider seeing a specialist if you've been actively trying to conceive after 12 months of unprotected intercourse, and if you're over 35, do the same at the 6-month level. I hope this has helped increase your awareness of infertility during this week of infertility awareness and allowed you or a family member to take greater ownership of you or their health. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about other health-related topics, you can go to centurionlabs.com or subscribe to the Frontline Health Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, go out today and take ownership of your health, because no one cares more about your health than you. Until next time, take care and stay healthy.